Welcome to Anakazo Assembly's Emmanuel Cathedral with Bishop Jude Orakatete. The servant of God will inspire you with the practical teachings of the Word of God that will bring healing to your body, soul, and spirit. Now, today's message.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the gift of life this morning. We thank you so much for the privilege to be in your house to hear your words. Father, we pray that let our hearts be opened. Let us receive instruction, wisdom, understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may please be seated. I've been talking about everything by prayer, nothing without prayer. And I'm currently talking about seven reasons why you must do everything. Everything with prayer. Or seven reasons why you should do everything by prayer. Hallelujah. Seven reasons why everything you do, you must pray. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17. It says, pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. Pray without ceasing. The easy to read version of the Bible says, never stop praying. Never stop praying. Message Bible says, pray all the time. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, pray all the time. Pray all the time. Even when it is raining at dawn, pray all the time. Because when it's raining at dawn, it's not easy to wake up to pray. Yes. When it's raining at dawn. Sometimes when it's raining, I say, God, who is stopping me from going to lie down and sleep? Hallelujah. I'm saying it because as for raining at dawn, there we've entered into a season. So are you going to go on leave from praying because we've entered into a rainy season?
Yes.
And the rain to start 3:34. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Will you say that I'm not going to pray again because we've entered into the rainy season? And the Bible is saying, pray without ceasing.
Bible also say,
don't stop praying. Never stop praying. If you have not started, start. Never stop praying. Don't give up prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, don't stop. You must pray all the time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, many times we have a certain deception. And the deception comes because we've not done analysis of the situation that you find yourself in. Hallelujah. This past week, I started and I did analysis of my life. And I did an analysis of how I spend my time every week. Because if you don't do analysis, you may tell yourself that I am doing this, but actually, when you do the analysis, you realize that that's not what is happening.
Yes, sir.
So, I listed all the main things that I do every week. Prayer, Bible study, how many hours I spend in church every week.
So that's what I did. How many hours do I pray every week? How many hours do I sleep every week? How many hours do I read my Bible every week? How many hours do I spend in church every week? How many hours do I go to Mampong every week? I listed all. And the results was very revealing. The results were very revealing. One of the things you'll be shocked when you do this is you'll be shocked at how much you sleep. Yes.
Well,
some of you here, out of the 7 days in a week, you actually sleep for 2 days.
Oh,
yes. Yes, 48 hours.
48 hours.
I mean, when I did it, I realized that even if you sleep for 4 hours, and how many know that sleeping for 4 hours every day is very low? Yes, sleeping for 4 hours. If you sleep for 4 hours continuously for 1 week, you begin to feel in your body that there's something wrong. But even with 4 hours sleep every day, in a week you have slept for 28 hours, more than one full day. Yes. Out of the 7 days, you slept for more than one full day. Yes. When I did the analysis, I realized that every week I sleep for 35 hours. Between 28 to 35 hours. That's how much I sleep every week. Between 28 to 35 hours. And when I say, how can I be spending all this time sleeping? Please, you to do analysis and find out how many hours you sleep every week. Are you here or have gone home? Yes. And when you call yourself a spiritual person, it is seen by the activities you do. How many hours of spiritual activity do you do in a week? When I put my spiritual activities in a week together, which is prayer, reading the Bible,
making kind of a Bible,
time that I've spent in church. Okay. I realized that I spend about 60 hours every week on spiritual activities.
60 hours.
That is prayer, reading the Bible,
and
number of hours I spend in church every week. 60 hours.
7 days.
Ask your neighbor, how many hours do you spend on spiritual activities? Yes. 60 hours.
60 hours.
60 hours. That is 2.5 days. Yes, that is working 12 hours every day for 5 days. So 60 hours of spiritual activity. Prayer, reading the Bible, and being in church. 60 hours.
60 hours.
Sleep, 35 hours.
And now 35.
Yes. How many hours? I was shocked at the number of hours I spend in Mampong. 40 hours. Yes. And I spend 12 hours to drive to Mampong and come back in a week. 12 hours.
And they come Mampong at the back. Now what
you
know back.
When you do that, you realize that you actually spend more time in traffic than you pray. That's one of the shocking revelation when you do this exercise. This is one of the shocking revelations. That you actually spend more time in traffic than you pray. And if God has blessed you to have your own car and you are driving alone to work with nobody, you would turn your time that you drive into time of prayer. When I used to live at Dansoman, I did that analysis and I realized that I spent 4 hours to drive from Dansoman to Mampong and back every day. So if I can pray that 4 hours prayer every day, that 4 hours that you sit in traffic and be insulting drivers. Yes. That 4 hours listening to politics, listening to useless things on radio, fighting people, insulting drivers. That's 4 hours. That you can actually use to pray. And 4 hours, somebody who prays for 4 hours is quite a prayerful person. Because most of us here don't pray for 4 hours a day. I beg you, please. Don't let us begin to go into things. Even 2 hours, cry, Charlie. Yeah? Are you here or have gone home? Meanwhile, the Bible is saying, never stop praying. Never stop praying. Hallelujah. But the activities of the world makes it difficult for you to pray. Hallelujah. Yes. One of the blessings I pray for everybody is that God should bless you with your own car. Yes. Yes. And please, God is blessing you with your own car, not to flex. Yes. Don't flex. God is giving you a car so that you will pray on your way to work. You will pray on your way to work. You see, when you begin to pray, one of the things I noticed when I was driving from Dansoman to this and I began to pray in my car, I realized that I was not in a hurry to even get to work, because the longer I stay on the road, the more I pray. So then I realized that all this kind of unnecessary overtaking and quarreling with drivers stopped. Yes. All of that thing stopped. Because it takes me 2 hours. That's 2 hours talking to God, going 2 hours. And then one of the things that I noticed, that I stopped giving people lifts. Because if I give you lifts, I've given up prayer. First, like, oh, are you going? Let's go. But now, I will not ask you. I'm going because I have an agenda as I'm driving. I'm saying this because I'm showing you. Some of you say that, Bishop, it's not us, so we don't have time to pray. I'm showing you that in your car, I should drive alone. And that is why I'm praying that God should bless you with a car. Amen. A good car. An air-conditioned car. So that you will roll up and be praying in the car. Air-conditioned car. Air-conditioned car. And those of you who have cars who have air-conditioned, jai pepe nun, and stop saying that nun fuel. Oh, here and yet. I said, those of you who have air-conditioned car, that so instead of you to use car, the AC, okay, then you roll down. So when I use the AC, the fuel goes faster. Oh, here and yet.
Ujina Hawk say, "A bishop said me so AC na a tree fool, ain't it? There be.
That is why your AC in your car, when you need it, it doesn't work, because you use it like a spare tire. Anybody who uses his AC all the time, the AC works. Those who use it once in a while, when you put it on, then because the car is not used to it, that car is there. Something bad is happening to me today. I am being overworked." Are you here? You've gone home. Yes. So use the AC. Put it on. And pray. I say, and do what? And pray. Instead of gossiping. Instead of gossiping. Pray. Hallelujah. Are you here or you've gone home? Yes. Because you see, if you don't practically look at things, you may never pray. Yes. But one of the practical things you actually have to do to be able to pray, you have to reduce the number of hours you sleep If you follow the doctors who say that a human being must sleep at least 7 hours a day, you will realize that in 1 week you would have slept more than 2 days.
Udi doctor chia 7 hours.
Oh, I mean a human being must sleep seven. Who said that? That you have to sleep 7 hours a day.
So they be also that 7.
No. Are you here? You've gone home. Yes. So we must learn to pray. Pray. See, prayer will change the dynamics of your life. Hallelujah. Prayer will change the dynamics of your life. Are you here? You've gone home. How many points have I given you? Reasons why I've given you to do everything by prayer. Reason number one is what? Prayer brings God into every situation. Okay. Number two. Prayer does what? Brings supernatural. Number three. It brings a what? A blessing. And how many of you need a blessing? It brings a blessing. That's why people who pray a lot are blessed. And you'll be jealous of them. Instead of being jealous, just start praying. Hallelujah. Number four. Prayer brings angelic activity. Is that not what I told you the story about the man of God who went for a prayer meeting, went to sit in his office and he saw angels? Yes. So prayer brings angelic activity into your life. The Bible says of angels, are they not ministering spirits sent to minister to them who are called to be heirs of salvation? So when you are a prayerful person, you have angelic activity in your life. Hallelujah. Are you here? You've gone home. Number five, prayer brings the great promises of God into every situation in your life. God has made very great promises. In fact, God has made a lot of promises about people who pray. Are you here? You've gone home. Yes. God has made a lot of promises to people about prayer. John 16, 23, 24. And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Jesus is speaking. Let's start from verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. Now Jesus had just told his disciples about the fact that he's going to the cross. And he will go and die. All right. And then his disciples had become sorrowful that he was leaving them. I mean, because it is great to be walking with Jesus. When you're in a boat and a storm comes, Jesus, Master, carry not that that we perish. Then he'll get up and the storm will stop. You are hungry, the bread is not enough. He prays, then the bread is enough. And then now every disciple is going home with a basket full. Wow. So it was a blessing to be with Jesus and asking Jesus things. So when Jesus said that he was leaving, they became sad. And he said, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man take it from you. Verse 23 now. And in that day, when I come back, when after I had died and rose again, and in that day, ye shall ask me nothing, meaning that now you will not pray to me anymore. So when we pray, we are not supposed to pray to Jesus. So Bishop, who should we pray to? Allah.
You
see, there are things that when you say to the ordinary Christian, it sounds blasphemous. But you see, it sounds blasphemous because we have not read the scripture very well. If you read the scripture very well, it is not blasphemous. Because Jesus himself is saying that, and in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. This is not Paul. That you said that Paul didn't know what he was saying. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus said that in that day, you will not ask me anything. Change the version. Change the version, please. In that day, you will not ask me anything. Is it clearer? Tell your neighbor that if you've been praying to Jesus, you've been praying to the wrong person. If you've been praying to Jesus, you've been praying to the wrong person.
Oh, bon paya chire Yesu, I ne umpaya na call wrong address.
Hey, Charlie. Charlie, it's like Bishop Jude is bringing something that is read your Bible.
Your Bible, man. Kase Bishop Jude na no boni trimu kambi.
In that day, you will ask me nothing. Is that not Jesus speaking? In that day, you will ask me nothing. Don't ask me. Don't ask me anything, Reverend McLean. Stop praying to Jesus. You are asking the wrong person.
Wrong place.
I assure you, anything you ask the Father. In my name. So you pray to the Father in his name. You pray to the Father in his name. Say, anything you ask the Father, did he say you ask me? Anything you ask the Father in my name, he, the Father, will give you.
Yes.
You see, it is like you are three brothers in the house. And one of them is daddy's boy. He does everything that daddy likes. If you people need something, whose name do you use? When my children want to eat ice cream, they'll say, Janelle wants to eat ice cream. They know that when they mention Janelle's name, an answer will come. We are asking the Father in the name of Janelle. Now, Jesus is saying, anything that you ask the Father in my name, why? Because I have done what the Father likes and the Father is happy with me. So now, anytime you mention my name, my Father's heart melts. Yes. In that day, you will ask me nothing. I said, this is Jesus' words. In that day, you will ask me nothing. I assure you, I am telling you what will happen. Anything you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So pray to the Father in the name. That is why when we are praying, we say in the name of Jesus. That's why we say in the name of Jesus. Because that is the instruction he has given to us. That we should pray to the Father in his name. That is why we pray and we don't have answers. Because we are praying all right, but we are using wrong protocol. We are using wrong protocol. Then look at what he says. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. But until he died, nobody prayed in the name of Jesus. Until he died and rose again, nobody prayed in the name of Jesus. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be complete. Hallelujah. Ask and you will receive. You see, you are not received. The Bible says that you receive not because you ask not.
I want to say, unsankai, if you say, unmusai.
Are you here or you've gone home? Take us back to King James, please. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. Are you here or you've gone home? Ephesians 3 verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Mean that God can do more than what you ask. And not just what you ask, but even what you think. It is your imagination that limits God in your life. Your imagination.
Yes,
you don't understand what I'm saying. It is your imagination. A rich man is there. He said, ask me anything you want. And in your mind, you've limited the rich man to be this guy. His value is about $20,000. So let me ask him for $200. So you have limited the man.
The Bible said, now he's unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that we could ask or think. So it is your imagination that has limited God, but God himself doesn't have any limit. God himself doesn't have any limit, but we have limited God in the way we think and the things we ask. You have limited God, but not that God is limited. Hallelujah. Yes. See, when Jesus came, see, Jesus' life showed us the possibilities. Jesus' life showed us the possibilities. When Jesus came and walked on water, he was showing us the possibilities of what we can experience as believers. I think I should preach another message. Yes. Jesus came to show us the possibilities that are open to us as believers. When Jesus came, you see, nobody has walked on water. Only Jesus.
Yes.
But see, when he came, Jesus showed us that it is possible as a child of God to walk on water. You see, the reason why we will never walk on water is that we don't believe.
See,
as I'm speaking, the expression on your face makes me realize that we will never walk on water. We'll go to the beach, but we'll swim. We won't walk on water.
You be go beach. You be drawing sunu. Now so pass it by nanti. So
are you listening to me? Jesus was showing us the possibilities that it is actually possible to walk on water.
Say, obe to me and nanti su so. Or see, it is possible. Pa, I adi obe to me.
You see. When the disciples saw Jesus walking on water and they said it was a ghost, and Jesus said, don't be afraid, it is me. What did Peter say? Peter said, Lord, if it is you, bid me, because I believe in you. And if you say I should walk on water, I will walk on water. And Jesus said, come. See, and then we remember that, and then he sank. Before you sink, you must be on top. So Peter began to walk on water. Peter said, Lord, if it is you, bid me that I come to you. And Jesus said, come. And then Peter came out of the boat. When he came out of the boat, was the boat at the seashore? So Peter stood. Even if you say he didn't walk, he stood on water. Have you ever stood on water before? And he said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water.
Peter.
So, when we talk about walking on water, but Jesus, the Son of God, that is why he walked on water. Who is Peter? Who is
Peter?
And he walked on the water to go to Jesus. For as long as he didn't limit Jesus, he walked on the water. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind, see, when you begin to see wrong things, when you begin to see wrong things and you begin to hear wrong things, it affects your faith. And he was afraid. Look, fear is the reason why nobody has walked on water apart from Peter. Because when you see the water, hey, I will sink. Because Peter was walking on water until he became afraid. Oh yes. Peter was walking on water before he became afraid. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. The moment fear entered, he began to sink. See, and that is the reason why Christians, we sink. We are believing God for something. Then fear comes, then we begin to sink. That is why we don't achieve the things that we believe God for.
Oh, yes.
That is why we don't achieve. Because you believe the thing, you begin to walk, fear comes in, and then that is it, you begin to sink. Are you here, Yvonne? Yes.
Yes.
Jesus came to show us the possibilities. Jesus came to show us that it's possible to multiply food. Multiply the food in your house.
I'm going.
Multiply the food in your house. When you get your salary, lay your hands and say, Father, thank you for this salary that it is taking me throughout the whole month, and let there be surplus.
Oh yes.
Jesus didn't say that, Father, in the name of Jesus, I apply the spirit of multiplication.
Yes.
Lord, multiply. Father, thank you. I bless this bread in the name of Jesus. And he gave it out. And 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish fed 10,000 people. 10,000 people. See, Jesus came to show us the kind of life we can live.
Yes, we betrayin abrabo kro a Christofor betumi abo.
It's a supernatural life. Elijah told the Phoenician woman that what? Go and prepare first for me bread and let me eat. That saith the Lord. The oil never finished. We don't have faith, though. Don't have faith. And actually, that's also the reason why we don't pray. We don't have faith. Oh, yes.
Bishop Matthew Diamond, sir.
You see, these are people who have faith.
Bishop.
Is there one day there was shortage of fuel? Shortage of fuel.
And then the fuel, no, sir.
They traveled. And then when they were coming back, they couldn't get fuel.
Only 2 coins. One is sandwich.
The last fuel they have, I think they drove to a filling station. When they got there, they said no fuel. So now, the people came out of the car and were walking around. How are we going to go back to Accra?
Do filling station.
He said, put his head on the steering wheel and he prayed.
So
then when he finished, he hit the steering wheel 3 times. Pow, pow, pow. Chang, yon, 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 vroom, then the car came on. Then he turned to the people, are you coming or not? They drove on an empty tank with prayer and faith. He said they were all speaking in tongues in the car. They drove out from Kumasi somewhere. Even before Kumasi. Yeah. They drove out. When they were getting to Accra and they saw a filling station and they turned and they asked, is there fuel? And they said, yes, there's fuel. Then the engine went off.
One day, Baba do a cry with whom filling station, baby. What the bus said, fuel, how I say, Annie, on the engine.
Yes. But when they heard that there is fuel, it's almost like, now I don't need this faith. So the engine went off. There is a supernatural life that we can live as believers. Jesus came to show us what is possible. Jesus wants to show us what is possible. But I'm realizing that we don't have faith. Jesus meets a dead man in a coffin that they are going to bury. It was not in a miracle service. That's even another problem. We only believe God when it's a miracle service.
Say miracle service, the end of the
But we don't believe God when it's by the roadside.
And so say the end of the.
Oh yes, we only believe God when it's a miracle service. When we say we're doing Holy Ghost service, it means that. But even in an ordinary service, people don't believe that something can happen in an ordinary service. You see, because it's like your mind must be tuned that God is coming to do miracles. But who tuned Jesus? He was walking, he sees somebody, he said, "Hey, young boy, sorry, no coffee." And then the guy gets up and goes home.
once.
Jesus was showing us the life that is possible for us to live. Some of these wild things that we see in the Bible, in this end time, that is how we are supposed to operate by.
Normally, we now know a Bible.
In the last days, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. What does the spirit do when it's poured upon us? What happens? Is the Holy Spirit limited? Listen. Next point. Prayer causes the Holy Spirit to be introduced into your life. Prayer. The prayer brings the mighty Holy Spirit into every situation. It brings the Holy Spirit into every situation. Are you here or you've gone home? Acts chapter 4 verse 31. Are you here or you've gone home? Acts chapter 4 verse 31. Tell your neighbor and say, stop limiting God. In your mind, you have limited God. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, when they had prayed, what happened? The place was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Are you here? John 14:16. Give me a more modern version, not King James. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another word, helper. When you pray, the helper comes into the situation. The Holy Spirit is a helper. A helper comes to help you do what you couldn't have done by yourself. And I will make prayer to the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. And this helper, he doesn't come and go. He's with you forever. And you want your life to be ordinary like an unbeliever. When the helper is with you, how can your life be ordinary like the unbeliever? Verse 17. Even the spirit of truth, or the spirit of true knowledge, that spirit the world is not able to take to its heart because it sees him not and has no knowledge of him. But you have knowledge of him because he's ever with you. He's ever. Eh? He's ever with you. He's ever. Everywhere you go, he's there. He's there. He's ever with you. Everywhere you go, he's there. Ever with you. Hallelujah. Are you here, everyone? No. Give me Genesis chapter 2 verse 18. Let me show you something. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. Now, we read this scripture and we think about a man needing a wife. Is that not so? It is true. It is true. But I read the scripture and I also see a man needing the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit not a helper? It is not good for a Christian to be alone. I will give him a helper. Who is this helper? The Holy Spirit. When the Bible says that it is not good, what does the word good mean? We think that we understand what good means. But let me tell you what good means.
The Bible doesn't say, and yet.
So what the Bible is saying, it is not right that the man should be alone. To good also means right. So it is not right. Tell to your neighbor and say, it is not right for a Christian to be without the Holy Spirit. It is not what right for a Christian to be without the Holy Spirit. Are you here? It is not favorable. You see, your life will not be a favorable life when you don't have the Holy Spirit. It is not favorable for a Christian to be without the Holy Spirit. It is not satisfactory. Your life will not be satisfactory when you don't have the Holy Spirit. When you don't invoke the Holy Spirit, the helper. Some of us, the helper is there, but we've made him redundant.
Is
it because you can have a helper in the house and not have help? You can have a wife in the house and you still don't get food to eat.
But me,
my pong. Helper. You can actually have a helper in the house, but you are not helped.
obetumi enya obuafo wo fie nanso mwa unya mwa bia.
Well, when the helper comes, your life will become satisfactory in quality. You see, when the Holy Spirit is with you, the quality of your life increases. So how come there's no quality of life?
Yes.
It is not good for man to be alone. It is not of satisfactory quality for a man to be alone, for a man to be without the Holy Spirit. The quality of your life is not satisfactory when the Holy Spirit is not there.
Are you sure I've gone home?
It is not advantageous. When you are a child of God, your life should be advantageous over an unbeliever. How come your life and that of an unbeliever looks the same? My life as a believer should be advantageous. Listen, it is, can I say something? It is a mistake for a Christian to envy an unbeliever.
Oh yes.
It is a mistake. Take it from me. It is a mistake. A tongue-speaking Christian to be envious of an unbeliever. It is a mistake. The unbeliever rather should be envious of me. Because my life is advantageous. Because I have the helper who makes the impossible possible in my life. If you, as a believer, you are envious of an unbeliever, there's something wrong with your life.
Oh, yes.
The day I begin to envy an unbeliever, there's something wrong with my life. Because my life must be advantageous. When you put me here and you put an unbeliever here and you analyze our lives, my life should be at an advantage. Because I have help that he doesn't have. I have help that he doesn't have. When a Christian and an unbeliever go and write an exam, how come the Christian is failing and the unbeliever is passing?
See, then Christo nini we are sending culture exams. Not Christo nini bomu dincho.
You don't like my message, you see.
How can the unbeliever be passing?
We are sending him bomu.
And then the Christian is failing.
Not Christo nini bomu.
When you have the Holy Spirit, that your life is supposed to be of satisfactory quality. That your life is supposed to be an advantageous life. And somebody without an advantage is doing better than you.
I was a bra bonu a swini. I was a bra bonu nyan for swa.
Are you here, Ivono? Prayer brings the Holy Spirit into every situation. Is that is what when you don't pray, you are doing yourself. Who here will?
And pay bo ima home kron kron e bati baby a wom.
When you don't pray, who can say who hear me? Wake up and join flow prayer meeting. We train 5:30. No, I be bomb by 30 minutes. No, I log in. Who can say who hear me?
So we na bomb by. Ojo in say who hear obi Debbie.
Oh yes. You come in to pray for 5 minutes and you go. Now I log in. Yeah. Bishop be bomb by. Who can say who hear me?
Obabe bomb by. Simenum.
The advantage you have is what you are joking with. Prayer is one of the advantages we have as believers. Prayer is one of the, that we can talk to the Father and he will respond to us. Unbelievers, then they talk to the Father, he doesn't respond to them. Because the first prayer that works is when you confess your sins. When you come to the Father and say, I am sorry for my sins, I accept Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior, it begins to work for you. Listen, the Bible says Cornelius was a man who prayed a lot and he gave alms. When his prayer and his alms giving touched God, what was the first thing that he did? He sent a man of God to preach salvation to him. Because God could see that if this guy doesn't become born again, he can pray and give hand, but I cannot give him a certain advantage. So the first thing that I have to do for him is to save him. Then when I save him, then I can give him what makes him who have the advantage, and which is the Holy Spirit. That is why when Peter went and Peter started preaching, the Bible says immediately the Holy Spirit fell on them, because God had wanted to give this guy advantage, because the guy was good. He was prayerful. He was giving alms, but he was at a disadvantage, because the Holy Spirit can never come into the life of an unbeliever. So the moment God sent somebody and he accepted Jesus, God said, there's no more time to wait. Let me, this guy, he has been praying for years. He has been asking for advantage for years. I've never been able to give him that advantage, but now that he has become my child, let me give him what gives him an advantage. And the Bible says that immediately the Holy Spirit fell upon the whole house. Oh yes. Oh yes. And you have Holy Spirit, and your life has no advantage.
Oh dear, oh crown crown. Now so ahunya bia ni wa bra bonso.
It looks like I'm preaching to two people. Are you here, Evgono? That is why when you don't pray, you don't know what you are doing to yourself. When you don't pray, you don't know what you are doing to yourself. You don't know that you are depriving yourself of things. Are you here, Evgono? You don't know that you are depriving yourself from things. Oh, yes. Look, when you are a prayerful person, you are not afraid of any evil that any man will declare. Are you here? We've gone home. Finally, prayer destroys demonic power that is against you in every situation. Prayer destroys demonic power that is against you in every situation. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill. See, that is his work, and he's always coming. Prayer is what destroys demonic power. Matthew 12:29. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house? See, the reality is that Satan is a strong man. He is a strong man. If you like, go and face him one-on-one without the Holy Spirit, you will see.
Oh, dear, oh, pa. You
will realize that he is a strong man. Are you here, Evgono? Yes. How can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Whether we want to admit it or not, evil spirits are real. Demons are real.
Demons.
You saying that I don't believe in demons doesn't make them disappear. Yes. You saying that I don't believe that the evil spirits are there, that doesn't make them disappear. Somebody say, I don't believe in God, doesn't make God disappear. Are you here, everyone? So whether we like it or not, demons are there. Evil spirits are there. In fact, Ephesians 6 verse 12 says that, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In fact, one of Satan's weapons is to deceive us to think that he is not there.
Yes.
Yes. One of the deceptions of the devil is to make believers believe that he is not there. But the Bible that you say you believe in tells us that we wrestle not against our brother. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. If you want to fight with me, you are fighting the wrong person. Hallelujah. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. They are spirits who are in charge of geographic areas. They are called principalities. There's a spirit that is in charge of Tabora. He's called a principality. He's in charge. It is Christians who don't respect ranks. Even evil spirits, they respect ranks. Even evil spirits.
they respect ranks. Even evil spirits, they respect ranks. That is why when evil spirits, they meet Jesus, they don't misbehave because they know who they've met. When an evil spirit meets you and you are senior to him in their spirit, he doesn't mess around with you. They see ranks and they respect ranks. It is Christians who don't respect ranks. You insult somebody who's above you.
Yes.
Demons. The Bible said that you believe that Jesus is Lord. He said, yes, even the demons, they believe and they tremble. They respect ranks. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities. We wrestle against powers. Well, they are principalities, they are powers, they are spiritual wickedness in high places. They are ranks. Evil spirits operate by ranks.
Yes.
If you don't know your rank, you don't go and fight certain battles. So the sons of Sceva, they saw Paul cast and say, yes, you are. Because your father is a pastor. So if Paul can cast, I'm also going to cast. Then the mistake they made, they said, we cast you out in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches. Then the evil spirit said, Paul, I know. The Jesus you're talking about, I know. But who are you? In the realms of the spirit, you have no rank.
I will finish this.
So you have no rank.
Yes,
it was not easy for them. Beatings be what? The Bible said they beat and they fled naked. I don't know how he did it.
I will finish a bull one. Emma wanted their deja in the journey call.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the earth. And prayer breaks demons. See, because the more you pray, the more you increase your power and your rank in the spirit. Jude 1:20. Say, finally, brethren, building up yourself on your most holy faith. When you pray, you are building up yourself. When you speak in tongues, you are becoming more spiritually strong. Hallelujah. Praying in the Holy Ghost. You see, and let me tell you something. One of the things, one of the major weapons of the devil is to put fear into you. If he can frighten you, he has won the battle. Yes. If he can frighten you, he has won the battle. That is why sometimes when people are manifesting demons, they try to frighten you. They weigh you in the spirit. Or your light, mommy. Yes. Yes. Because one of the weapons that the devil uses is fear. If he can frighten you, he has won the battle. One of the evil spirits that operates in most lives is the spirit of fear. Everybody has been afraid of something before. Or should I say, are still afraid of something? When you are walking in fear, it shows that you are under the influence of a demon. Fear. You see, how does Satan, if Satan wants to kill somebody, how does he do it? He gives you a dream that you are lying in a coffin. He gives you that dream, 1, 2, 3, 9, and one chill. Then now he can move ahead and kill you.
Fear
will disarm you. Fear. You'll be holding a gun. Somebody is coming. Fear, you put down the gun. The gun you are, is the weapon. The Bible you are holding is the weapon. But if put fear to you, you put the Bible down.
Bible no kuta ono. And only what could you? Now so hunti or the Bible not to form. Now what done?
Am I preaching to somebody? Yeah. Prayer breaks demonic power. Hallelujah. Hebrews 2:15. Let's start from verse 14. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Verse 15.
and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. When you are living in fear, you are in bondage. Yes. When you are in fear, you are in bondage. You cannot operate. I know a lady who is afraid of sitting in an aeroplane. Yes. Because of that, when her husband is traveling and wants to go with her, she doesn't go, she stays at home. That is bondage. Or when the husband is flying to a place that, you go, I'll sit in a car and drive and come. Yes. It is called bondage. Yeah. It is called bondage. Fear. It will keep you in bondage. Hallelujah. That is why one of the commonest things you hear Jesus say is fear not. The moment you are afraid, the miracle cannot happen. The moment you are afraid, the breakthrough cannot come. Hallelujah. Luke 8:49. While, is it, Jairus had come to see Jesus that his daughter is sick, Jesus should come and pray so that she will be well. And Jesus said, okay, let's go. And the Bible said, whilst they were on their way, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Now, the reason why you are bringing is for him to come and pray that she won't die. Now she's already dead. Trouble not the master.
Her master, no.
Verse 50. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not. Fear not. The bad news you hear will not become definite until fear enters.
Bad news. No.
The bad news. What did Job say? They said, the thing that I feared the most has happened to me.
Job said,
fear brings calamity because fear is a demon. Listen. Fear is not a feeling, it's a demon. So when you are afraid, it's not a feeling that I feel sad, I feel happy. A demon has come to live with you. That's what it is. A demon has come to live with you. Fear is a demon. Prayer will break every demonic stronghold in your life. Anything you are afraid of, rather turn it into prayer and deal with it in prayer. Hallelujah. Deal with it in prayer. Don't let demons sit on you. Don't let demons sit on you. Anytime you disagree with a demon, its power over you goes away. For a demon to be able to oppress you, you need to agree with it. For a demon to be able to execute his wish for you, you must agree with it. When you disagree with it, that is it.
It doesn't work.
Hallelujah. May the Lord deliver you from fear.
Amen.
I say, may the Lord deliver you from fear. Amen. Every spirit of fear,
amen,
that is tormenting you, may the Lord deliver. Begin to disagree,
amen,
with that spirit.
Amen.
That evil spirit. Whatever it is whispering to your mind, amen, disagree with it.
Amen.
Yeah. Because evil spirits, they speak to us. One day Bishop Dyke said he was walking with a friend, and then his friend Satan shut up. He said, hey, is everything? He said, oh no, everything's fine. Satan was saying something. I just needed him to be quiet. Satan was whispering certain things. I just needed him to shut up so that I can flow. Yes. Hallelujah. Fear is a demon. Fear is a demon. Hallelujah. Fear is a demon. You break its hold through prayer. May you become prayerful.
Amen.
I said, may you become prayerful.
Amen.
May every demonic stronghold over your life be broken in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Fear is a stronghold. Verse 5. Casting down what? Imaginations. The thoughts in your mind. Sometimes something is not real, but in your mind it's real.
Yeah. It's
called imaginations. You are imagining things that are not there.
Oh, just
casting down imaginations. Imaginations are mental pictures that the devil can paint in your mind to accomplish his purpose. So casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge, that this is fighting against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. Your thoughts can put you into bondage. Your imaginations can put you into bondage. From today, may you think about things that are good, things that are pure,
amen,
things that are holy.
Amen.
Those are the things that should. You see, why do you want to think about something negative when you can think about something positive? That is called melancholism. You are always thinking about negative things. Adia Mikono, and ye Juma, Kak, Wem Kotinemo, a Benyan accident. Why is there always your mind is negative? It is called melancholism. You are always thinking about the negative and not the positive. Obin Pemasem, or people saw Kumi. Look at the way he spoke to me. He has a bad mind. Negative. Hallelujah. That's the negative side of being. See, me, I'm a melancholic, so I know what I'm talking about. Look, you can dream up fantastic things and say that it is real.
But to me, I dream.
You yourself, you dream up fantastic things. Yes. You can dream. You can watch a program on a medical condition. By the time they finish, you begin to see the conditions in your life. Even though it is not there, you begin to see it.
Oh, TV.
It is called melancholism.
TV.
That is why now I've stopped watching this medical things. Because by the time I've watched 15 minutes, I'll begin to diagnose all the things in myself. Aden.
Oh, TV. No, if I yare. TV. Hey, me yare sa yare.
Yeah. So nowadays I don't watch such things because I'll begin to diagnose it. Because one of the common factors in almost every sickness is headache.
Yare
in just 30, yes, I yare away,
yare bia, ade ba kwa womu
pa yare away. So nowadays when I see them showing all these medical tests, yes, 10 of them. In fact, I don't watch TV in the first place. For somebody to come and sell sickness. For me to buy the sickness. The sickness is not there, then I'm going to take my money to buy it. Hallelujah. Yes. Fear. May the Lord deliver us from every spirit of fear. Stand to your feet as we close. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now this afternoon, I want you to pray. We are asking God for just one thing. Father, give me the grace to be prayerful. The grace to be prayerful. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Pray for the grace to be prayerful. Rabatorianda labo shebrokos keteriandis. Elo rabala broste kazanda la rabashebroko toyende. Malore bakotorianda la mashebrekete. Bandele rabakasi toria rabalibe. Amashebroko toria rabalibe she bandelebe. Ikola rabashebroko toria rabalibe she bandelebe. Olo rabakase katoria raba. Ekole rabala bashebroko toria ndalaba. Ala rababakasi toria rabalibe. Ekolo rat. Oh Lord, we need grace.
Oh Lord, we need grace. The grace to be prayerful. 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 In the name of Jesus.
The grace to pray.
Oh, she bring not a setorie. Ilo rabala ba ko she bring dere matoye le breakes. Ishe ratoria ndo kosi not kaze. Malo ratoria rebo kosi torie rebele be. Olo rabali bros de kazande le raboshia. Olo ratuye rekitoria ba shende rebo seyati. Izaratoria rekaskitoria rabali be. Manda la rabaku toria rabali be. Azotoria rasa kataye le bo. Ula ratoria. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Grace to pray.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now this afternoon,
we are praying.
As every head is bowed and every eye
is closed.
Maybe somebody invited you to church. Or you came to church on your own. But you know in your heart that you are not born again. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you want to give your life to Jesus, if you want to be born again, lift up your right hand right now. Pray with me, Pastor. I want to be born again. I want to give my life to Jesus. Lift up your hand. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we bless you. Father, we give you glory and we give you praise. Thank you for your word that has come to us, Lord. Father, help us. Give us the grace to be prayerful. May we become men and women of prayer. Men and women who spend time crying out unto you and spending time in your presence. May we see the benefits of such a lifestyle in our lives. We give you glory and we give you praise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
God bless you for listening to the message. We look forward to your testimonies via our social media handles.